all the stuff back in again. Normally I have to do it once. But because the third time I train, I had to carry everything.
Welcome along to our podcast. That's Alan ranting there in the background. Yeah, he's as happy as ever.
Yeah.
For his second rank. Dennis Laffey, you're very welcome along to your
Thanks
first podcast.
Yeah.
Bring it
first
in.
Of the season.
William Davies, our voice of reason on this podcast. You're very welcome along as well.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah,
I'm trying to live up to my billing.
Yeah.
Cricket top looking good.
Yeah. While I try and find the fantasy rugby table and stuff, let's start talking about the weekend. I should have done some research before we started this, but did anyone watch Italy and Scotland?
Yes.
William, what do you think?
I thought Scotland actually did okay. It was much, much better than the usual Scotland-Italy match, which is usually you're asleep after 20 minutes. This was actually, at times, quite an entertaining game.
I think it was the best game of the weekend, to be honest.
Yeah.
And looking at the stats seemed incredible in terms of yards gained, offloads, line breaks.
Oh, yeah.
I think Italy seemed to have more of the ball than Scotland in certain areas.
I thought Italy were very unlucky to lose by that amount.
Yeah, well, there was two intercept tries,
yeah.
Tries scored off the back of Italian errors. They did look a bit tired, and by the end they looked a bit fed up. But, it was quite a decent game. It mightn't have had the intensity of the other two matches, but it certainly it was very passable. But I don't know what to think about Ireland's future prospects against them.
Lads, Ireland, Scotland. Like, I mean, before we even get to, you know, a lot of people have listened to a lot of talk about Ireland, England, so we don't want to dissect that game. But at the same time, we want to dissect where Irish rugby is right now. Maybe Dennis, you can start that off by just like how do you even win in Scotland with all the injuries we have?
Oh well, you can always win in Scotland. I mean. They've made some big improvements and they're playing some expansive rugby, but you know, have they had enough time for that kind of system to gel? I don't know.
They're still a third tier nation.
And what's your worries, Alan, going in like with
Ronan O'Gara?
Yeah,
that's all I need to say, really. Ronan O'Gara,
he was shocking in the Ireland game.
He was, and nobody,
I can't see how he's going to improve between now and then.
No, it's abysmal to think he was on the bench. The worst thing that could have happened was Sexton got injured. You know,
I think the chicken came home to roost there, but maybe it was a good thing in some ways, because we're trying to subsist on such a small number of players, or certainly players that are in the line of the coaches for selection. Paddy Jackson would seem to now be the number two, which I find odd, even though I have Ulster connections.
I don't think he's ready yet. I think he's too young.
He's too young.
I think he's too young.
And his goal kicking is hit and miss.
Well, I mean, he shouldn't even be number two. I mean, the fact of the matter is that this is now a perfect opportunity for us to break the cycle of having Sexton with O'Gara as backup.
Yeah.
We now need to move on and just take the opportunity to try out some fresh options that I would have.
I think the problem with that is that the coach is looking for a new contract. And I suppose the championship is still there to play for. If we were to lose to Scotland, which is
O'Gara starts, we will lose.
No, I don't think we will.
I agree with Alan. How can we win the game with O'Gara? With the way
he's
Scotland.
15 yards back. He hides from guys running at him. He throws out suicide passes because he's put under pressure. Like, you know, I'm an O'Gara fan. I loved O'Gara when he was in his prime. He's not in his prime anymore. And we do have other guys who can play that position. You ask any Munster fan, they much prefer when Keighley's starting. They're a completely different side when Keighley's starting.
Well, that's the problem, because he has been starting and O'Gara looked shell-shocked when he came on, really. Mm. The game sort of passed him by.
He definitely had no match business. His game head was not on. He's not the same ice-cool O'Gara that we knew, you know, 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm. And
the most amazing thing I thought, no one said this, England still only won by 6 points.
Yeah.
You know?
They didn't make a line break. They didn't, you know, they didn't really do anything with the ball.
Look at the statistics.
Yeah.
We won that game. If you leave the score at the top of the table, at the top of the page, and don't look at it.
Yeah.
You read the rest of the statistics. We had better possession. We made fewer errors. We won the. We didn't lose any scrums. They lost three.
We made fewer errors.
England gave away 14 penalties to our 11, for example. But in terms of errors, yeah, let me just have a look. Yeah.
In terms of penalties, yes, we gave away more. But in terms of errors in total,
really?
Yeah, well, the RBS Six Nations side has it for us.
Well, after the game, handling errors was giving us 10-5 to Ireland.
We carried the ball 87 times. They did it 55. We made 211 tackles. They made 165. Sorry, that's metres. We made 211 metres. They 165.
Look, we're not American football.
Exactly. This is the problem.
This can tell their own story is what I'm trying to say.
We know this. Alan's fed up in general, but I'm liking this.
I'm an American football fan, but I don't want to see it in rugby. I don't get it.
Yeah,
but the coaches get it. That's the problem. It's becoming a whiteboard game.
Yes.
And friend of mine rang me on Sunday night. He said, "What did you think of that game?" And I said, "Well, I actually enjoyed it. I said, I thought England were excellent because they had a plan. They came and they executed it." He said it was like watching expletive deleted American football to him.
Mm.
But that's the way they were set up.
Is that why when we started this podcast a couple of weeks ago, in case you're wondering what happened to the one in between, it disappeared in the ethers because we didn't record it very well. But anyways, that's me. Ten years journalism.
Technical problem.
We talked about how great a weekend it was last weekend on the podcast. It never was. But we talked about how overrated the tournament is. And this weekend, it seemed to return to type again, didn't it?
Yeah, we're back to normal Six Nations. You know, all pressure, everyone playing to form, everyone playing... as well as says whiteboard rugby.
That France Wales game, jeepers.
Yeah.
Well, that game was actually fascinating because I've never seen a French side play as badly. They really didn't care. And I've been in Paris when the crowd has turned against them. The crowd actually stuck with them and did their best. And when Wales scored the try, they just got up and
they didn't even have time to boo.
They just left.
Is there some, you know, I've heard sort of allegations or possible allegations maybe of possible match fixing that, you know, that the French are, there was some talk of the possibility. There's all this other match fixing going on in soccer and whatever, and that they were so bad. And the time they did break the gain line and went for a drop goal.
With 125 visitors, could we get sued?
Story.
surely not.
I am
combing over this podcast.
Allegedly, their mascot snuck in some drugs before the game. No, I'm not.
Oh, dear God.
I just get the feeling with the French, they just decided to teach the coach a lesson. But he has a winger playing centre. He is an out half at fullback. Michalak has come back, and it's just bizarre. The problem is now, I think England will beat them, so then they will have lost three games in a row, which I think is the first time they've done that since 1909, and then they'll land in Dublin.
Hang on, now you've given me a good segue there mentioning Michalak at out half, because the man who's leading our fantasy rugby league had Michalak at out half at the weekend, which is phenomenal considering how well he's doing in the competition. But anyways, a salute to Brian Clark, and the main reason why I want to salute him isn't that he's leading our fantasy rugby league in Cooper, New Jersey, is that he's stopping a certain Declan Fowler, who you'll hear on our podcast at a later date, and more importantly Alan Deegan. He's keeping them off the top. Thank you, Brian. Thank you. Dennis has just checked to see where he is. Did you check where you are there?
Oh, well, it was a fair way down anyways. I didn't want to ruin what you were talking about there, so I couldn't scroll down far enough in time.
I'm 15, so that's reasonable. That's respectful.
That's pretty amazing for you, Rob.
Yeah, whatever.
And I'm not registered, so...
Yeah. William's above this fancy rugby muck. Anyways,
it's the only thing that makes the Six Nations enjoyable. You can sit and watch a match and cheer people from different teams. It's great. It makes it really...
I'm going to lose my Irish passport for saying this, but when Farrell kicked the four penalty, I was like, well, at least I have him at out half. I can't be the only Irish person who
said
that.
I had him at out half.
I had him for the last week as well.
Just one last thing about the Ireland match. Had O'Gara kicked that penalty, I mean, there could have been a draw on it. There could have been a win, no?
No. We didn't have it, man. He was just going to get gobbled up by somebody somewhere.
One of the things that really struck me about the Ireland game was the fact that all of our senior players, they were giving away penalties, making stupid decisions. Yep. They look like deer in headlights, and you know, you can't think that if we got back within 3 points that England would have sat back. They would have come at us again, and you know, our senior players wouldn't have been there because they hadn't been for the entire game.
I have this theory, William, the Irish sport is big on containment. It's big on what we have, we hold. We win a big game, let's hold that. There's never any sense of let's keep climbing. Is that fair?
I think it is fair, but I think that one of the problems... Well, there were many problems last Sunday. We led Wales 30 points to 3 in Cardiff after 42 minutes. Strange sound effects there.
Yeah. Sorry, just cleaning my jacket. It's just full of crap. Sorry, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. Well, post game podcast. We're going to have a chat in the dressing room.
My riveting contribution. But, but I actually think.
You're making a good point.
Because we then spent. We hung on in Cardiff.
Yeah.
The nervousness carried on into Sunday. And the first 20 minutes on Sunday, we looked petrified.
Mm-hmm.
The senior players were all, exactly as Dennis said, and that came, I think, if we'd gone, we should have put Wales away 45-10.
Mm.
We didn't. We took a foot off the gas, or we forgot the game plan, or they did improve.
Darcy went off injured.
Yes.
And made a huge mistake, because when he went off injured, Earls then made his mistake. They scored a try. Momentum changed there and then. Chipura coming on was a big thing for them too.
Well, exactly, whatever his name is. But that really was, we didn't get anything. We didn't bring as much out of that win as we should have brought. And on the containment, it's the big win. Let's have what we hold. I just think England on the day were too good.
If the Six Nations had the scoring system that every other tournament has, Ireland would be on 6 points, England would be on, I think, 8, unless they score 4 tries against Scotland, but I think they scored 3 tries against Scotland. So we'd be only 2 points off the top with our bonus points that we would have picked up. It's a funny world, but we wouldn't really deserve to be that close to the leaders, would we? Or maybe we would, I don't know,
I mean, the thing is, Ireland played really well against Wales.
Yeah, actually,
well, for the first half anyways, why weren't they able to repeat that, you know, against England? I mean, they have how many staff there around them helping them to get into a routine for match day? Was the routine not followed? Did something happen in the, I mean, obviously Brian O'Driscoll
suited England. That lashing rain, wind, big pack, it suited them, and they had such a boring game plan. It was back to like watching England back in when Johnny Wilkinson. Let's just get the field, put the record on.
They have a new Wilkinson.
Yeah.
And they're gearing up for the World Cup. They will do very well in the World Cup.
Yeah. But they have, you're right. Even in their backs, they have very reliable, steady players. Mike Brown and all those lads. They're very reliable.
Yeah.
Like Mike Brown is a fantastic player. Don't get me wrong. I'd have him at fullback, to be honest. But
Me too. Yeah.
But they have a more steady guy at fullback.
A more steady guy again. It's like Dempsey and Murphy debate, except shifted across the water.
Yeah, and now they've got that Ireland monkey off their back, and that's why they were, if you see the pictures of their fans and the excitement around that win, like, you could see how much it meant to them. Like, it was like, this is huge.
It was huge for them, because they've still got to go to Cardiff, though, and I think that might be their downfall. I just have a feeling the last game of the season in Cardiff, Wales, Alan Wynne-Jones is back, they might just, Wales will go for broke in that game. And
Wales will probably be going for the championship.
Well, I think we all could be going for the championship. It could be a hell of a last day, because it could be
best tournament in the world. But like, just going into next round of games, because people will be listening to this wondering what we think of England versus France. Is going to be a classic, Dennis, do you think? It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fascinating.
It'll be interesting. I mean, France will see this as their chance for redemption, because it's their crunch game. They always like to get themselves up for their old enemy, I suppose. A lot of people's old enemy. Yeah. But, you know, it's...
They don't do well in Twickenham.
Exactly, they don't do well.
And they don't play well on Sundays.
Really? Is this a new thing? I thought we had all the little French boxes ticked, but Sundays do.
No, I think...
oh, for God's sake.
I don't think they've ever won a match on a Sunday at Twickenham. So England will find a way to win that.
Will they, yeah?
We struggle on Sundays as well, if I'm right. I think we lose a lot more.
It's like a morgue up there. It's a terrible day for these games to be played. I think they want to go back and try the Friday night option.
Surely the weather would have contributed to that. I mean, the new Aviva is quite open. Like, you'll get drenched in frozen cold.
You get drenched in bloody Lansdowne Road, and you had better crowds than that.
These terraces, when you get drenched on the terraces, it's a bit of crack.
Amongst your fellows, you know, you're not.
They also had what I would call real rugby fans, denigrating the guys who were up there supporting Ireland.
Yeah, they don't listen to our podcast. You're right.
Fair enough. They're there to be entertained. I think the modern fan is there to be entertained, as against being part of the whole thing. Who, you know, rugby people who get caught into it.
You and I were talking about this. A lot of controversy here in Connacht. Game played Coegans versus Boys Club in the junior league game and kicked off the exact same time as Ireland England. We won't even get into that for now. Other than this Ireland game,
this is an important relegation battle. You know, we didn't have any support here. Coegans
seconds, Our Ladies Boys Club, and Ireland England kicks off at the same time. It's a disgrace. But quite apart from that, 40 or 50 players playing rugby 5 years ago, and I won't even ask you, Alan, because it was you that said this. I put it to William. 5 years ago, there was no chance. Like, you couldn't even comprehend the idea of playing a rugby match on the same day as an international, because rugby players don't have the same connection with professional sport anymore.
No, I think that's correct. I don't have much connection with club rugby, so I'm probably not as aware of that. But that game was, you open the bar, you get as many people in as possible, and you make some money for the club. You don't play a game. If you have to play a game, you play it at 12:30 or 1 o'clock. Yeah. And that was, I remember as a kid, they used to play games here. Serious games would be played here on the Saturday morning in Wigeons, where we are now. And then you could go into the bar.
Yeah.
I wasn't, because I was only 10. You'd have to go home. But that was, unless your dad was here. But that was the sort of way it was. But there seems now to be a total disconnect on that issue.
Yeah, and you've got a situation where the Connacht Under-14s Cup Final, or League Final, I think it was the League Final, was played in Castlebar between Corinthians and Craigs at 2 o'clock. Which is just like, whatever about adults.
Sense,
These are kids. These are kids who want to go and watch Ireland.
All right, last word. The battery's about to die here, so this is our goodbye in the podcast. And if it cuts off, it cuts off. That's my attitude. Dennis, thanks very much. Do you think Ireland will beat Scotland?
Yes, I do.
No, that's good. You see, he knows the battery's low and he's not going to go on, Alan. And
why,
by the way,
why did you just start talking then?
Yeah, exactly. Give out to me. You're the one who kept talking about it. No, if O'Gara's playing, no, we're not going to win.
No, okay. Does that mean stay away from him for fancy rugby? Like, you are third in the fancy rugby league, so your advice.
I won't be picking O'Gara, I can tell you.
Irrespective of whether O'Gara plays, we'll win.
Oh, William strikes in with a bit of confidence to finish the podcast. Lads, this is rugby punditry that you wouldn't get anywhere else.